traditionally, Latinos have been associated with Catholicism. But for the past several decades, there's been a trend of Latinos and lots of other people leaving the Catholic Church. Some become evangelical, some leave religion altogether, and others join a religion that looks very different from the Catholic Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. ASU professor Suhey Vega researches this phenomenon, and I spoke with her more about it, as well as how it intersects with her personal experience as a lapsed Latina Catholic.
I was born in the United States. Both of my parents were Catholic or are Catholic. And they both came from a region in Mexico, Michoacán, Zamora specifically, that is very, very Catholic. And as such, then I was raised Catholic. I would visit home, my Mexican home, often see my grandmother. And so for me, Catholicism brings back memories of her, of my grandmother, of her singing next to me and her voice cracking, but still very much a part of the hymns, and her praying, and my mother as well. And during Day of the Dead, even though I no longer am a practicing Catholic, I teach my family. I change it up a little bit, but I do a Day of the Dead prayer that kind of celebrates a little bit of my heritage.
Yeah. So let's talk about your leaving the church and why you did. I mean, this was something it sounds like you did relatively young and after being, you know, raised in this very culturally steeped version of the religion.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I remember in high school, I would go to a mass at a Catholic service that was just really inspirational. I loved it. I would have never imagined if I went back in time and told my high school self that I would not be Catholic anymore. I think that she would find that hard to believe. Mm. And in part, I loved it because our parish priest was just so engaging. And he was what I would call today a feminist priest because he always included women instead of us men. It was always us people. And so I loved it. Then I went to college and I went to a different parish, one that was close to my college campus. And that priest was not as engaging. He was very much old school, yelling at the congregation rather than engaging them. Mm. I felt out of love, and I started seeing other aspects of the faith that I was not comfortable with. Mm. It was slow, but it definitely, I stopped going to mass and I was okay with that. Like there wasn't like a light bolt of lightning didn't come down on me. And I still believe certain parts of it, you know, but I also see a problem with the faith.
Yeah. So to your own surprise, it sounds like you are now a researcher in this, a professor in this. You study religion, you study Latinos in particular who have left the Catholic Church. And in particular, you study those who have left for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is very interesting. First of all, though, tell us how you got into that realm. How did you go from, you know, leaving this faith to deciding you wanted to study it in some ways?
I was understanding or trying to understand the way that Latino immigrants, Mexican immigrants in particular, kind of negotiate home, create spaces of belonging. And I couldn't help but be in spaces of religious rituals, masses, events, processions that reminded me of my grandmother, reminded me of my mom, but also reminded me of how important religion is to Latino populations. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of came to me that I had to stop ignoring it and really kind of lean into the role of faith in people's lives, even if I no longer was a practicing Catholic.
So yeah. You've also sort of dived into this realm of Latinos leaving for the LDS Church, as I said. First of all, how common is this? Like, what do we know about the numbers? Is there any way to measure this?
It's really hard to measure it because the church itself, the LDS Church, does not keep demographic information like this. But we can just see from the activity in Latin America, the activity of Spanish-speaking missions in the United States, that definitely the numbers are growing or have been growing for at least two decades. It is definitely one of the populations that demonstrates the largest growth in the LDS Church.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when I think about the Catholic Church versus the LDS Church, I mean, theologically, first of all, just very, very different. What do people tell you about why it is they have left and why for Mormonism?
So I think a dominant answer to that question that I've gotten is that they never felt really connected. I mean, similar to me, to the parish, the priest. They felt like they were just kind of sitting and asked to absorb the religion rather than asked to contribute to the religion. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people answered that question with, you know, I just wasn't feeling it anymore in the Catholic Church. And I would go to Mass every Sunday like I was supposed to. I would sit there and just listen to the priest preach. But I wasn't connecting. And I felt like I wanted to say something, but I wasn't allowed. And so for them, then, the opportunity to have, in this case, Spanish-speaking missionaries, often white Spanish-speaking missionaries, mm-hmm. who would come to their door, knock, and engage them in a way that respected, A, their language, and B, wanted them to learn the faith, read the faith, and be able to talk about it. Yeah. And that was something that they did not get in Catholic experiences. The Book of Mormon itself has the Americas, and specifically Latin Americans and Native Americans, as a central part of their faith, yeah. Of the Book of Mormon. So I think a lot of them connected that way too.
But at the same time, when you look at the Mormon texts, right, like, you know, isn't Jesus described as light-skinned? You've got a lot of imagery of, you know, a light-skinned Jesus converting Native populations in Latin and Central America. Do those things come up when you talk to people about this?
Not necessarily. And I think that speaks to a more complicated vision of race in Latin America. And so while Latin America has what we call mestizaje, or the intermixing of different groups, and has had it, you know, since colonization, there is still and always has been a attraction to European features, right? Mm-hmm. To be white or white passing is still seen as an ideal. We can see this in TV and news reporters, in novelas. And all of that comes from a horrible racist kind of undertone of colonization that is still coming to the surface today. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues and problems in the Book of Mormon, especially with a light-skinned Jesus that is completely inaccurate. Mm-hmm. But then also with the notion that as they grow in the faith, their skin will lighten, right? That's in the Book of Mormon. And they will, quote unquote, blossom as the rose. But I think a lot of them, because of that dominant undertone in Latin America, that wasn't necessarily a concern for some of them.
So you talk about those concerns, those maybe problematic things in your research of this, but also that you have had very, it seems, very authentic, very true experiences with people who have converted to Mormonism, who, you know, remake this faith in their own image and who are incredibly fulfilled in their spiritual lives. Tell us about them.
Yeah. So one of the things that being a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints offers that often isn't a possibility in Catholicism is lay leadership, right? You can have wards, what they call like congregations, mm-hmm. with a Latino or Hispanic priest who is a bishop, a leader for the congregation. But then there's multiple leadership roles within that, some even for women. And so the opportunity to not just sit back and listen to a mass, but actually engage and take on leadership roles means a lot of them do have a more fulfilling relationship with their faith than perhaps Catholicism.
Is there a political intersection with this in your research?
So I research Arizona, and I've also included work in Utah. Both states are rather conservative, and both states have LDS politicians that often rally and utilize their connections in the church to gain support. Mm-hmm. With Arizona specifically, I know that I was looking at specifically one of the first to engage SB 1070 because Russell Pierce was and is LDS, mm-hmm. right? And I wanted to understand how do the congregants, the members of the church respond to this very political moment that for some, they supported it, and for others, they were really afraid, and it was a terrifying time here in Arizona. I heard from folks that said that, you know, they lost a lot of good people during the 2010. There was a lot of fear and anxiety, even in the church spaces. They even said that they were afraid to go to their wards, and mostly not because of outward negative comments. A lot of it is subtle, and in one case, I know that there was assigned for Pierce or Arpaio, I couldn't remember which one. And the signs were inside the church building. And Latino members, when they would show up for their services there, because they share buildings, they felt very uncomfortable with those signs there. And one Latina, a woman in particular, addressed it with her faith leaders and said, "We need to take those out. That's not okay. We should not have those here inside the space. This is not a space for politics." And so I think it's, yes, there is politics, but I think like with any faith, it's about how certain individuals bring it in and weave it into their faith practices, and how other individuals really don't want it there, that they just want to be able to worship and not have to confront antagonism and political rhetoric.
All right. Suhey Vega, Director of Community Collaborative Initiatives at ASU, as well as an associate professor in the School of Social Transformation there. Suhey, thank you for coming on. Thank you for your time and your expertise. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was lovely talking to you.